This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stogstill. The correspondence between Leah and Esther continues. April the 6th. Dear Leah, it's been horrible. Throughout January, Lydia was silent, speaking to me only when necessary. Something happened one evening on our walk. "How could you?" she burst out. "You used my sister," I tried telling her. I didn't mean to get Edith involved, but Lydia wouldn't listen. "I told you our secret. You kept it, right?" Guiltily, I admitted I told you. She sighed angrily and walked beside me, but purposely kept a lot of space between us. I almost had to shout to be heard. Lydia, Edith didn't know. She didn't question me when she printed last part. She just posted it, I explained. There was silence. When did she remember? After our disastrous summer, I told her about all the times you sneaked away. She said, "It's just her and someone named William." She didn't realize who William was, and I didn't tell her. The day Mother discovered you, I told her I might know who you were meeting. I didn't know where you two met. I suppose she figured it out. She walked on ahead and understandably wouldn't say another word. I tried changing the subject, but she still refused to speak. Like other times, I went quietly to bed. Only Amy inquired how I was. When Lydia ordered her not to talk to me, she replied, "It wasn't my sister who posted that letter. The Americans and Japanese are fighting on the island of Okinawa. So far, Japanese aircraft have destroyed American ships. William departed for good. John handed me a letter from him saying it's in German. Mrs. Davis explained to everyone that he left because he, quote, told a terrible lie so he couldn't work here any longer," end quote. She didn't need to say more. I'm sure by that time, everyone knew the whole story. Canadians are still liberating Dutch cities. More concentration camps are being freed as well, thank God. Some by Americans, others by the English. It's horrifying listening to reports about Jews and other people being tortured by the Nazis in those places. Even their names sound evil. Names like Buchenwald, Colditz-Katzel, and Bergen-Belsen. Some of those reports are so horrible, I can't listen. I leave when they begin. One report I managed to listen to was from Bergen-Belsen. The man reported that 40,000 men, women, and children were imprisoned behind barbed wire. When he drove through the gate, he saw bony faces at the barracks windows. In one of the huts, he found a girl who was alive and asking for medicine. Some children were sharing food next to a pile of bodies. A man fell and was dragged to the side of the road. The reporter had come to a hut and looked at each person to see if they were alive or dead. His report ended with discovering a pit filled with dead bodies lying on top of one another. The starving prisoners were eating them. During the report, I wanted to say, "Turn it off," but I couldn't. I just sat there, unable to breathe. I think everyone was shocked. I heard crying and sniffling while we listened. I'm more grateful now that our parents put us on that train to safety. I thank God we're here instead of dead in one of those camps. Here's more cheerful news. Germany's finally stopped resisting, so total surrender can't be far away. I bet Hitler's vision of victory has been crushed. I don't know who I'll be with this summer. Maybe you? I hope your news is better than mine. Esther. May the 10th. Dear Esther, such joyful news. Hitler's dead. We don't know how, only that it happened a couple of days ago. On Tuesday, Miss announced Eva would like to read one of her letters aloud. Please start. Gripping her papers, Eva turned to face us. She took a deep breath and began. Your Royal Highness, my name is Eva. I am 11 years old. I came here because Germany is dangerous. My parents wanted me to be safe, so they sent me here. When I first arrived, I was terrified. I couldn't speak, read, or write English. Would I fit in and make friends? What kind of family would I have? Miss held up her hand and Eva looked up. No interruptions. Miss glared sternly at some English girls who'd been whispering. She nodded for Eva to continue. My foster family is Jewish like me. I also have a younger sister to play with, too. At home, I'm an only child. The English teacher assisted us with English when we arrived. She could be strict, like when my English foster sister was put in the cold corner when she misbehaved. I've made many friends. One is an English girl named Helen. Once we skipped stones at our local pond, and she always walks me to and from school. Our first year here, we celebrated Hanukkah at Daniel's. That's an 8-day celebration, a bit like Christmas. I miss my German family. I pray for them often. I hope to be reunited when this is over. I live with a wonderful family and am fortunate to be in this country. If I can't be reunited with my family, I'd like to remain here. Sincerely, Eva. There was silence when Eva finished. I glanced around and noticed two of the English kids wiping their eyes. Miss blinked, then took Eva's letter from her. We couldn't see what was written on it, but Eva grinned. Before she reached her seat, Carmela rushed over and hugged her. "Did you hear the King's VE speech? He honored the servicemen who gave their lives and once again praised the civilians who fought on land. Our faith kept us strong," he said. "Now England and the world have to be restored." He ended by thanking God for his mercies during the war and for the peaceful guidance of that same strong hand. Love you, Leah. June the 12th. Dear Leah, on to something lighter like summer. Enid and Dora are still with us. They have bows, but they're not American. We haven't met them, and I don't suppose we ever will. They went to a dance, returning bright-eyed and giggling. Prisoners of war camps are being liberated as well. Wherever they were held, the prisoners were housed in barracks and fed very little. Many became ill and died. The survivors were treated in hospitals or aboard hospital ships. They were described as skeletal and starved. I'm not surprised you're having such a horrible time with this William business. Glad they came around in the end, though. Has the school replaced him? America and Japan are still fighting. Speaking of Japan, there was a meeting between the leaders of China, America, and Britain where they demanded Japan to surrender, but they refused. Laron and I took Italia to the cinema, her first time going in a long while. This film was about a supposedly haunted house. This couple moves in, and the companion who lives with them sees the ghost of the previous owner. The husband hires a man to play the dead husband. Confusing, I know. Excited, Leah. August 11. Dear Leah, busy week so far. America's new president, Truman, Mr. Churchill, and Stalin met again. This time, they agreed that the Nazis should be punished and Germany should be split into four zones controlled by France, the United States, Britain, and the Soviet Union. I can't believe how awful Mary's parents were, concerning our family anyway. One night over dinner, her mom casually asked, "Have they found your parents' bodies? I read those camps are crawling with the dead." Mary and I stopped eating. I sat there unmoving. I tried to speak, but I couldn't. I felt angry all over again, like that night in the washroom. Jumping up, I angrily shoved my chair back. Mary and I fled the kitchen. "Dad, how dare you?" Mary shouted. We heard both parents chuckling. Her siblings continued eating silently. In her room, I couldn't stop shaking and crying. Mary apologized, promising me, "They've never been this horrible to other friends I've brought home. You don't have to come back again." I didn't speak to her at all the next day. I ignored her parents as much as possible until we returned. Her siblings were sweet. Her brother taught me to play marbles. I didn't win, but it was a nice distraction. Her sisters ran around singing. The seventh, America bombed Hiroshima, Japan. The ninth, and Nagasaki was bombed. It's a shame all those innocent people had to die. Will Japan finally surrender? We've returned, and something unusual occurred. Anna found me in the music room on Saturday. "Do you know where your family is?" she inquired. I stopped playing. "No. Why?" "Two teachers want you to live with them once you finish school. Will you?" she demanded. I was silent. When had this been discussed? I wondered. "Which one will you choose?" Her voice was loud, almost shouting. "You've gotten special treatment ever since you arrived." "Anna, I don't know anything about that," I said. "Miss Walters and Mrs. Blake were talking just now. I overheard them discussing you. They both want you to live with them. They've never had favorites with any of us, only you." "Anna, please," I interrupted. "Stop. I honestly haven't a clue about that. I don't want to live with them. They're wonderful teachers, but I think you know who I want to live with." "That sister of yours? How do you know she'll have you?" "She's my sister. We've been separated too long," I cried. Anna laughed mockingly. "So has everybody else. The only difference is we'll probably see our families. Your parents could be dead, like those other Jews we've heard about." I was speechless. I knew she was saying those words to upset me. "Anna, Esther, stop this minute. You're both almost grown women. What's this about?" I turned at Mother Anderson's voice. "Mother, she's the teacher's favorite," Anna said over my shoulder. Mother asked for my side, and I explained I knew nothing about the conversation. Anna repeated what she'd heard. Mother said she'd speak to the teachers and sent us on our way. I found out we both received kitchen chores that evening and didn't get our free music period on Sunday. Love, Esther. Leah's German Diary, September 20. For some reason, Jane and Sarah were allowed to go to the cinema. I had chores, as always. Sarah filled me in when they returned. It was a short documentary about Burma. By 1942, the Japanese had cut off the road. China was blocked from reaching their allies, and Japan could invade India. The Indians and the British became the Southeast Asian Army. By 1943, the province of Kohima was attacked. Supply routes were cut. Americans supplied tons of supplies by air. The wounded had little medical aid. The road was reopened, and the Americans invaded Burma by air and planned to attack Japanese railways. When they reached it, they were able to carry out their plan. After that, the Americans captured a Japanese airfield. Then, the narrator read soldiers' diaries, detailing their jungle march over the mountains to reach a river. Malaria and other diseases kept them exhausted, and the weather didn't improve. Malaria tablets weren't useful. They used elephants to transport everything. By October, they'd come out the other side and had to build a bridge to cross another river. In 1945, the two armies fought in Mandalay. There was a sea battle to prevent the Japanese from bringing reinforcements. And the Lido-Burma Road was complete. They built boats and ships to cross the river and brought back supplies for the Allies. To the west, English and Indian armies fought the Japanese and pushed them back. By March, Mandalay was freed. The film ended with the Nagasaki bombings. On the 3rd, in class, Miss Simmons announced that Japan had surrendered. I'm not sure how anyone concentrated. We talked of nothing else. Well, there was excitement on the playground yesterday. Girls, stop this instant. Miss ran onto the schoolyard where we were playing. I was with Eva and Daniel, so I didn't see them at first. You two, enough, Miss shouted. There was silence as Miss ran to Nora and Bridget. I saw Nora had a cut lip and blood on her forehead. Bridget's dress was torn. Both were crying as Miss separated them. Jane heard they had to stay inside for the rest of the year. No wonder Nora's grieving for her sister. Mum looked sympathetic. She's heartbroken. Bridget's relatives came home, Sarah said softly. I think there won't be a family anywhere who won't be grieving for someone they love, Dad added. Jane just stayed at the table. Enid and Dora came in then, and Dad prayed, asking God to give strength to the families grieving for loved ones. We ate silently. Dora and Enid looked curiously at us, but asked nothing. Didn't they have relatives in the war, too? It's very sad. Soldiers and nurses are returning, and many are injured in some way. But there are many families without loved ones. Funeral services have been held, with more to come. Miss canceled school for a while. Tuesday, December the 18th, morning. I'm so overjoyed that I couldn't sleep last night. Esther's coming. Mother Anderson's bringing her today. She can stay with us for Christmas and the New Year.
She seems like a lovely girl, Dad commented.
Sarah can't wait to meet her. She'll probably pester her with questions. Dad's calling me. I think she's here. The car is driven by a woman in a pretty dress and coat. Mother Anderson. I rush out of the house and run to meet it. Her door opens. She climbs out. Then she opens the door for Esther. I stare, my mouth open. She's so tall, I think. Not my little sister, but a beautiful girl with long braided hair. I reach out to her and we hug for a long time, crying and laughing. We run our hands through each other's hair, not speaking. Esther's thick braid comes midway down her back, the end tied with a ribbon. She strokes my long, straight hair. Babbling in German, we begin to talk at once. Well, I know who you are. We break apart, and Esther gasps. Then, turning, she answers, I'm Esther. Nice to meet you. You must be Leah's mom. I guess she hadn't heard her coming. She holds out her hand, but Mum refuses to take it. How dare you, I scream silently. Mother Anderson comes around the car and introduces herself. I'll come for you soon after the new year. Now have fun and Merry Christmas. She hands Esther her case and drives away. You sit there, Mum shouts at Esther. She points, but of course Esther can't see. Over here by me, I say. She touches each chair until she finds the empty one between Jane and me. We pray, then Mum serves us. It's in front of you, Mum says, exasperated. See, right there. Esther finds her plate. I can use cutlery, miss. Everyone stops eating. I look over and see a slice of bread, cheese, and a piece of chicken. You'll only make a mess, Mum snaps. Just eat. Dear, perhaps she can manage, Dad says. Yes, I can. If we made messes in school, we clean them up, Esther explains impatiently. Show me. Mum slams down a fresh plate with our dinner, and the meal continues. No spills and no foods on her clothes or floor. Esther tries to have a conversation with Jane to her left, but she's not talking. Dad eventually asks her something about Mother Anderson, but nothing else. Only Sarah keeps the conversation going. She and I tell her stories about Eva and Charlotte. Some of it Esther knew from letters, but she laughs anyway. I catch Jane smiling a little. Mum eats silently, cutlery scraping her plate. Leah, if she's finished, tell her the plate goes over there, Mum says. I can hear. The sink, Esther says. Where is it? Stand up. Walk past my chair. The sink's straight ahead. She finds the sink without a problem. No, girl. Leah, tell her you do the washing up here. She'll break the dishes if she does, Mum orders. I want to slap her. Miss, I can speak English. I may not know where things are, but at least let me help wash up, Esther says, answering for herself. Mom, since Esther's here, I'll take over, Sarah offers. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, Jane, dishes, Dad cuts in. Finally. We're alone now in my dismal attic. Wrapped in worn, thin blankets, we finish singing the song we've been translating. Then we talk in German. Is she always that horrible? Esther asks. If you mean Mum, yes. You've read my letters, I say. I thought perhaps she'd be civil to me. Jane, she didn't say much. No, she and Dad were both quiet, I reply. He wasn't very helpful either, Esther says angrily. That's how they are, I sigh. I can't wait until I leave with you. Just not sure where yet. Laughing, we embrace for a long time. I was hoping you'd say that, she says. We talk about Mama and Papa for a while, wishing they were here. She fills me in on her friend's party. Still, no word from Wilhelm. On September the 3rd, there was so much joy. The war was over. In the dining hall, the whole school celebrated. The celebrations would have been complete if Wilhelm had been there. I'm still furious he was dismissed. He was my friend. The one person I could talk to about our family. Just because he's half German, they had to dismiss him. Yes, I realize he lied. John doesn't even know where he is. I bumped into Anna in the hall after our party. She put her hand on my arm, saying, "It's over." "Yes," I replied. Now families who've been apart can be reunited. What's your plan now? She asked. To see Leah and then finish school, Esther finishes. Oh, here. Esther hands me his last letter. Dear Esther, it was a pleasure to know you. I enjoyed our conversations very much, even though they were a secret. Please forgive me for not sharing my true name with you. I didn't want you to be burdened with my lie. I apologize for how things ended the way they did. Mrs. Davis felt it was best that I leave. I wish you the best in school, and hope you find your sister someday. Your friend, Wilhelm. We were both crying as I finish. Esther slips it in her case. To change the subject, I show her my German diaries. Leah, do you think anyone will want to read these? She asks, inspecting the diaries. There's so many here. I don't know, I reply quietly. Maybe they're only for us. Now, before bed, we say the Shema, thanking God we're finally together. Esther. Holding my cane, I stand at the corner waiting to cross. The button's pressed, traffic stops, and I cross the street to the bakery. We've been employed there since a couple of years after the war ended. I open the door, and the bell tinkles pleasantly. The aroma of warm bread fills my nose.
Esther, is that you?
Yes, Italia, I call. I make my way to the kitchen where she's rolling out dough.
Leah's picking up supplies, she said.
Placing my cane in the corner, I put on an apron and join her at the baking counter.
Did Mrs. C. enjoy her basket? She asked.
She thanks you for the cake and wants the recipe, I answer. The bell tinkles, and wiping her hands on her apron, Italia heads to the front of the shop. I turn my attention to the dough.
Where's Elizabeth?
She's an English woman we hired when we first opened. When Italia returns, I ask about her.
Sick today, she says.
We continue working in silence for a while, the soft dough taking shape in our hands. The bell tinkles again, and Leah enters with bags. I know it's her. I recognize the old German song she's singing. I finish with the dough. We unpack. We wait on customers until closing time. Most of them speak English, but some speak German or other languages. If Italia or Leah can't communicate, they use gestures. Me, it's either guesswork or asking someone for assistance.
The dough's risen, Italia calls.
We clean up. The dough's placed in the freezer. Then we lock up.
Our house isn't far, so walking home isn't bad, except when it's cold.
The street is crowded with people speaking many languages. The sun is setting now, and a cool breeze blows. I smell flowers in the air. Someone's car radio is playing a Petula Clark song. Kids play on the sidewalk.
Teacher, a girl calls.
Yes? Leah and I answer in unison.
Is my lesson Sunday? She asks.
Yes. Leah turns toward her, answering sternly. And bring your music. We turn onto our street. The noise seems to fade into the background. Reaching our house, Leah unlocks the door. We're home. It's taken a long time to arrive here. After Leah and I finish school, Leah, Italia, and I couldn't find employment in the countryside, so we moved to the city. Italia and I were introduced during my Christmas visit. We couldn't speak much because, as Leah described in her letters, Mrs. Evans was always nearby. We had a brief conversation on the street. She was thrilled when the war ended. Not surprisingly, she hasn't heard from her family either. She joined us when Mrs. Evans informed her she was no longer needed. No warning, no good luck. Italia was both furious and relieved. Since she wasn't comfortable speaking English with strangers, we agreed she could live with us. Many people weren't comfortable hiring Jews or a blind woman. It was a constant struggle for us to find employment at all, even domestic work. Whenever I applied for a typist position, I was told, the position has been filled. Along the way, we met many people looking for a place to call home, wherever that was. Leah and I couldn't bear to return to Berlin. We learned that our parents had been killed in a concentration camp, along with many others. To honor our loved ones, we wore black ribbons in our hair. Returning to our old house was difficult, but we decided to see for ourselves. Utterly destroyed, burnt buildings scattered everywhere. Our neighbors, places we knew, and family were gone. Nothing remains now except memories. Heartbroken, we returned to England. We barely said a word the whole journey back. Italia didn't want to see her town. She pointed out, "Why see a dead city?" When Hitler committed suicide because Germany was losing, I don't know anyone who mourned. He caused so much suffering for millions of people. Leah told me something fascinating. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf. One of my friends said it has 6 Braille volumes. That's not on my bookshelves, but the Tanakh is. Yes, it's taken years, but it is as long last available in Braille. When we were finally settled, Mrs. Davis wrote to me about an institute that produces Jewish literature in Braille. Of course, I wrote to them, inquiring about the Tanakh. They had it, but I had to learn to read Hebrew Braille first. That was great, except for one problem. Hebrew Braille was more complicated to learn than English because of how the letters are formed. Many different combinations of dots make up the Hebrew alphabet. At least I don't have to read it backward. I wish I could take the book to our synagogue, but it's too bulky. In our relaxing room on a small table sits my Brailler. It's louder, but much easier to use than the slate and stylus. The piano stands in another corner by a window, and under the bench seat is Braille and print sheet music. Leah plays whenever she wants. She and I teach on weekends. Italia prefers her paintings. Her easel stands underneath a window where she has a view of the park. She says in winter, the snow-covered trees are beautiful. Meanwhile, Winston Churchill and King George VI are dead, replaced by Anthony Eden as Prime Minister and Princess Elizabeth as Queen. I still remember her speech, telling us to have courage. We watched her coronation on our neighbor's television. It's like radio, accompanied by a black and white picture. The ceremony was beautiful, held in the abbey where her father was crowned. Many attended, and when she appeared on the balcony, crowds lining the streets cheered. Last year, she gave birth to a son, Prince Edward. India gained its independence in 1947. It's partitioned into 2 nations, India and Pakistan. The centuries under British rule weren't exactly kind to the Italian people. Many fought and lost their lives for their independence. During partition, there was violence. Millions of people were displaced or killed. Gandhi was assassinated in 1948. Thousands attended the funeral where his body was cremated. Many laid flowers around him. Mourners lining the streets wept as his body was driven past. Nehru became the Prime Minister of India after India gained independence. His new laws included allowing women to inherit property and free education for the people. Jinnah became the first governor of Pakistan after partition. In America, General Eisenhower became president and was replaced by John F. Kennedy, who was later assassinated. Now, Lyndon Johnson is president. We discovered the Americans weren't so great after all. Their government interned thousands of Japanese Americans after Pearl Harbor. Those camps weren't quite like the Nazi sites, but Roosevelt shouldn't have imprisoned those innocent people. I suppose Americans believed they were the enemy, just like the English thought we Germans were. And to some, we still are. It's Friday. We open the bakery early. Leah and Elizabeth work up front while Italia and I work in the kitchen. It's time to bake our special challah for Shabbat. The end. Acknowledgements. I began researching this book 4 years ago. I discovered the word kindertransport by chance while researching evacuated children. That took me down a path of research I didn't expect to go down. The internet is fantastic. Some websites provided inspiration for my imaginary school, for their archived documentaries on Charlie Wood College and Royal Broadcast, thanks to YouTube. Stumbling across a diary written by evacuated blind girls was very exciting. After reading it, my imagination did the rest. Other websites were useful when I researched rationing, fashion, and entertainment. Books were beneficial. Some were for research, and others were inspirational. For nurses' experiences, I turned to Sisters in Arms by Nicola Tyer. Worth Saving, Disabled Children During the Second World War, described the evacuation and education of disabled British children. Churchill's Secret War was a great help when researching the famine in India. For Judaism facts, there was the Everything Judaism book and How to Keep Kosher. Hitler's Forgotten Victims was a horrifying look at disabled children who the Nazis killed. Inferno, The World at War, looked at wartime life for the people and countries involved. Never Give In are audio versions of Churchill's speeches. People assisted me with the project as well. I had great editors who provided helpful feedback on the characters, plot, and historical accuracy. Certain creative parts of the story are my own. The blind girls using canes are my invention, since orientation and mobility teachers weren't trained until 1960s. I didn't read any memoirs written by evacuated children. I wanted my characters to come out of my own imagination. That's why this novel is historical fiction. It's taken multiple drafts to complete Esther and Leah's journey. Every single character was exciting to create.